You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Greatest bumper music in radio here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman, so happy to be with you on this Black Friday post-Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a really fantastic one. And so I'm really excited about this appointment, this cabinet appointment that President Trump made. And I know there's a bunch of exciting appointments, but this one to me is potentially as consequential as any of the other ones, and maybe even more. So there is a doctor named Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. And of course, over Thanksgiving, I had conversations with people, and everybody's like, everybody had a different way of pronouncing his name. So I'm sorry to be so unprecise about pronouncing his name, but the guy's badass when it comes to COVID and pandemics and government overreach in response to lockdowns and masks and all this other nonsense. And he was part of the protest back in the day when the government and all of the itinerant traitors like Fauci and Scarf Lady were taking control of our government. I'll never forget, actually, the time when it was March, and it was maybe 2020. I can't remember now. 2020. And Easter was coming, and President Trump said, "I want to open the doors of the churches for Easter," because it was coming in April. It was a little early that year, and I'm telling you, not but a few days later, Fauci and the rest of his wrecking crew were announcing that 2 million people would die of COVID by August. And so guess what happened? The churches didn't open, and everybody doubled down on the masks and that kind of thing. Enter Jay Bhattacharya, who is President Trump's new NIH director appointee. And I promise you, this is one that is going to sail through the U.S. Senate. It better, I'll tell you that, because Elon Musk is preparing already to bankroll anybody who is opposing these common sense decisions that are being made by President Trump. So he's great. So back in the day, he talked about, and this was during a time when it was very unpopular to talk like that. Like, I know you all know people, I did too, who were really, you thought they were common sense people. They were normal, average, everyday people. And then they turned into a bunch of freaks about COVID because they were scared. Now, to me, I don't think that's an excuse. But everybody's like, you don't want to kill grandma, do you? You want to kill grandma, kill your kids, you're going to kill yourself. Whatever it is, you need to, like, get on board because this is terrible and horrible. Now, my belief, the whole COVID thing is that it was introduced. It might have been a lab mistake, whatever, but it wasn't long before the Democratic and, I'm sorry to say, some Republican people all decided, oh, I know what we can do. We can destroy America. We could make people so scared and so weird that there's no way they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And on top of that, for his reelection, and on top of that, we're also going to get mail-in voting, where people could just mail in votes. And then we're going to have the mail-in voting. And then when it comes in and we see Trump votes, we're going to incinerate them in an incinerator. That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to do this. Because you look at 2024 election results, and I'm not trying to re-prosecute the 2020 election. All I'm saying is that if you look at the numbers from 2024, there's no way that that election wasn't stolen. Anyway, what they did was they utilized all the fear to their advantage. They made like a motor voter rule. Democrats used to be pretty good at that. They weren't good at that this time around because we had Governor Abbott, other people in other states clearing the voter rolls, and then also absolutely requiring voter ID and banning mail-in voting. Anyway, one of the heroes of that time, and he was ridiculed as an outlier and a traitor to the COVID freak out, and it is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. This is what he said about all of the scientists, the scientific bureaucrats, as he called them, who created a cartel.
Scientific consensus in favor of them. That was a lie. There was never a scientific consensus on almost any of the topics. And as you say, on masks, in fact, the pre-existing narrative, the pre-existing idea among most scientists before the pandemic was quite the opposite direction. What happened was a relatively small group, a cartel almost, of very powerful scientific bureaucrats took over the whole apparatus of science, at least as far as the public eye was concerned, dominated the media, dominated the message to politicians. And as a result, we had a catastrophic response to COVID. And we're going to be paying the cost of that for a very long time.
Yeah, well, not that long, apparently. That's the only thing I think he's wrong about, because I don't think we're ever going to, but I'm not nitpicking with Dr. Bhattacharya. I'm just saying that eventually that all is gone. It's never going to happen again. Lockdowns will never happen again. I remember being at a restaurant in December, I think, of 2020, and they decided, because they were closed down, they had to do like a tent outside of the restaurant where we would all be eating. So I took my son there, and we're sitting there in this tent with propane tanks going. It was an enclosed tent. I'm like 2 feet away. I'm closer to somebody than I would normally be, even if I were in the restaurant. I'm thinking, how is this possibly safe? So what happened is the scientists, or the alleged scientists, all replaced their lack of knowledge with the assumption of knowledge. So lack of knowledge became knowledge. I know that sounds convoluted, but they were all like, well, what we don't know is turning into what we do know. And that is not policy, and it destroyed the country and our economy and the educations of so many kids and businesses and beyond. Businesses were obviously paid off by COVID aid, all that kind of stuff. It was a pretty solid example of some real racketeering going on. I'm telling you what. And hopefully, once Dr. J looks at all of the cabinets, as meaning the files, we're going to find a lot of stuff if it hasn't been already shredded. And I'm not convinced that it hasn't already been shredded. Lockdowns? No way.
The places that have followed such a strategy, Florida, Sweden, other places around the world, have done much better in terms of overall health outcomes than places that have had lockdown-focused strategies, where the disease is spread anyways, but with catastrophic damage to the poor, working class. Going forward, my goal is going to be to help people understand that the lockdowns were an enormous catastrophic mistake that should never be repeated. I believe that lockdowns should be seen as a dirty word.
Yeah, In other words, bird flu, suck it. Don't try to run. They were trying to for a little while there over the past year. Well, bird flu's coming. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. What else? It's like nothing else. They're trying to kind of do that whole bird flu thing, and it didn't work out for them. I hope that Dr. J, when he gets into the filing cabinets and sees the memos and things like that, I hope it results in prosecutions. And I'm talking about lying under oath. Dr. Fauci lied under oath. Dr. Birx was flying around the country. Donald Trump's policy was not to shut down schools. She was flying around the country urging shutting down schools. And so hopefully these people will be exposed. I don't know whether he has a vengeance about him or more of a constructive, like, this is never going to happen again. But I hope it's a mixture of both, because that's going to be required. So far, aside from all my favorite appointments, this is quite possibly one of my favorite appointments from Donald J. Trump. It should be fun to watch all of this happen. Hopefully it'll all be dismantled too. So this is the Jesse Kelly Report. I'm Jamie Allman. Happy to be filling in.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Allman. Happy and honored to be filling in for Jesse. And I just was faxed a desist order by Corey and Chris saying, don't call it the Jesse Kelly Report, dude. I'm like, I know. I do a show called The Allman Report in St. Louis. And so I mixed it up a little bit. And the one thing, though, that really stood out to me was it didn't surprise me at all, because Jesse's old school, you know, and it doesn't surprise me they still have a fax machine at the Jesse Kelly Show studios, which is like, I think that's old school and badass for you guys to have a fax machine. But I don't know. I got it right away, guys. And don't you worry about a thing. All right. So this is interesting. This is coming. Are you tired yet? I mean, I understand. Like, I'm kind of in that mode where I'm celebrating and enjoying the new frontier, enjoying the new age of enlightenment that we have, the golden age that Donald Trump predicted would happen. And, of course, obviously, he has to deliver on everything. And I know that jury is still out. I get it. But he's obviously listening to the right people, and he's doing the right thing. And we'll never get a General Kelly again in the administration. I love that. But the reality is right now, what we have now is I'm like thinking, well, I don't, every time I turn the TV on or the radio on, and normally I'm like, okay, I do my own show, whatever. I listen to Jesse's show, of course. And then the rest of the time, I just put on real jazz and I listen to Coltrane or whatever else it happens to be. And so I kind of check out a little bit on that. But when I do get myself involved in mass media, all I'm hearing are a bunch of Democrats all just complaining and trying to do their autopsy and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not interested in that at all. It seems like the news media now, Republicans, Democrat media, whatever, are all focused on, like, what happened? What happened? Hey, how did this happen? How are you? You know, it's like, I don't care. We know how it happened. I'm not. I know people talk about, like, well, we need two parties, two strong parties. I get it. But right now, the Republican Party is a party of mixture of philosophies. Some of them are democratically inclined. Just take the union vote, all that kind of stuff. I get it. And I'm not afraid of that. As a common sense conservative, I'm not afraid of that at all. So basically, the Democrat Party right now is in a situation where it's like the Whigs. They're like going to go away. And now they're thinking, I know Ocasio-Cortez could be our next nominee. I'm like, you guys haven't learned anything. Anyway, this Democrat mega donor, John Morgan, is on Fox News, and he tells it straight about the blame game that's going on with the staff and all that kind of stuff. And the reality is Kamala Harris never had a chance of winning. Never. David Plouffe even said, when the news media was showing us these polls that she was ahead, whatever, Our internal polling was not showing that. It wasn't real. We knew it, which is why, of course, they resorted to calling Trump a Nazi and calling you garbage and all that kind of stuff. And Trump was as relaxed as I've ever seen him on the campaign trail, and because their internal polling was showing something completely different. But even just by the naked eye, it was entirely predictable that Kamala Harris had no chance, except people were saying, well, I don't know. What about fraud? I'm like, I don't know. I think most of that has been taken care of. Although I think now with the House situation, House of Representatives situation, we might be in a little bit of a pickle there because of some ballot harvesting and fraud. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. So he goes on to talk about how basically Barron Trump looks so much better equipped than even the Democrat Party consultants.
Well, my reaction is, you know, she thinks she's Obama. She goes to Hawaii because Obama goes to Hawaii. She started talking like Obama.
And actually Biden wound up in Nantucket. It's like, why Nantucket, dude? And that's Obama's plan. Why are you in Nantucket now?
Hating Obama. She is not Barack Obama. She is has no talent. She can never run for president again. She ran once and got zero delegates. She got 8% of California. I begged them not to put her up. She was going to be tethered to Biden no matter what. That was a zero-sum game for her. But she thought that all these votes were for her. They were not. The votes that she got were people voting against Trump. And the votes that Trump got were the people voting for Trump. What the Harris campaign should have done, instead of avoiding Joe Rogan and podcasts, it turns out that Barron Trump, who looks like a runway model, was telling his father, you need to go on podcasts. You need to go on Joe Rogan. You know, he was 3 hours late to a rally because he was doing Joe Rogan because that was so important. So Barron Trump is a lot smarter than everybody in the Harris. They said they didn't go on Joe Rogan, the progressives around her. You heard what Carmel said. The progressives didn't want to go on Joe Rogan. Look, if I'm running, I'm going on Joe Rogan. I'm living on Fox. That's how you change minds.
Yeah, you also go to all the podcasts. And as I said earlier in the show, Barron Trump and his friend Beau were significant influences on President Trump and his campaign. It was a decisively more youthful campaign. President Trump was having fun. He was, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would think that the whole garbage thing was set up by Joe Biden and Trump, because it's like Joe Biden calls people garbage, and then 24 hours later, the campaign buys a sanitation truck, and he's in a sanitation vest, even though he's wearing a tie still. And it was just, it's incredible. And so all these people are doing these postmortems. We have James Carville. But James Carville was wrong in the very beginning, too. He was convinced Trump was going to lose. So Carville's kind of washing his hands of all this and whatever. Right? It's a good insight from a Democrat mega donor on the influences in the Trump campaign. All right, coming up, not all will be rosy, possibly in the House. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Ullman. Happy to be with you.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman, super happy to be with you right now. And so Harry Enten is, I have a few favorites on CNN and MSNBC. So I love Harry Enten. I love this Steve Kornacki dude on MSNBC, because these are the guys that always present the facts after 24 hours of nonsense and lies. And so they come out with these polls and these polling. And normally what happens is they appear and they turn the left-wing crazy anchors ashen face with their facts. And it's always great. And I don't know what Enten's political proclivities are. It's clear that, you know, in a rare kind of form of modern journalism, he doesn't seem to have any, which is great. And he's just a numbers guy. And the numbers he's presenting here, though, normally have been bad news for the Democrats. But this time, I'm thinking that they're bad news for Republicans. So this is what happens when you have pockets of the United States still doing ballot harvesting. They do that in California. I remember covering the story of the murdered Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt, who wound up on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol, and she was shot to death like a dog. And the story behind that is that she was trying to escape, really, the people who were breaking windows, most of them lefty Antifa people, and she was set up. And she wanted to get out of there, and she couldn't really, because the stairwells were occupied by the Capitol Police, and the other side was a window where there was Michael Byrd, who was a corrupt Capitol Police officer who shot her to death with no warning whatsoever. She was trying to get out of there. But what I'm trying to say is that ultimately what happened is, in this situation with Ashley Babbitt, so a few months later, I wind up in California. I'm interviewing Ashley Babbitt's husband, Aaron, and her mom, Mickey. And then fast forward a little bit to the Gavin Newsom recall election, which was I was involved in traveling around the country with the Forever Free people and Stop the Steal types of efforts, but I also wound up in California promoting the recall of Gavin Newsom. So during that time, and Larry Elder was actually running for governor at that time, and so Aaron told me, hey, man, I got like four ballots mailed to me. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. One of them was for me. One of them was for Ashley Babbitt, his wife, who'd been dead for 6 months. And the other two were for people who lived there 3 years before they ever moved in. So if Aaron Babbitt wanted to kind of do whatever he wanted to do and send all of them in, he could do that. There was no requirement of any notarization, nothing there, you know. So ballot harvesting is alive and well. It happened, I believe, in California. It happened in Arizona, certainly, with the Kerry Lake election. There's no way that Trump took Arizona at the rate that he took it and Gallego winds up winning Arizona. There's just no palpable way that could happen. I've seen it before where people will vote for president one party and then a senator another, but there's no way that somebody so antithetical to the Trump philosophy could possibly have been elected to the U.S. Senate in Arizona. Yeah, I think that election was stolen. But nonetheless, it happened. And so in a lot of these House races, it happened on a more micro level. And also we have the problem of a lot of people who are Congress people who are being appointed to Trump positions. I'm not blaming President Trump for this. These are good people. Elise Stefanik, Matt Gaetz, other people who are going to be giving up their seats. So this is presenting a real problem for House Republicans. And that is that their margin is low. You have a point where there's a possibility that the one House Republican could decide to vote with the Democrats, and anything that President Trump is trying to get through will die. And Harry Anton explained this in his missive regarding the House totals and everything else. This is how it went.
Gracious. Yes, the Republicans are going to control the House of Representatives. But if all the current results hold up, we're looking at a record small majority after the Novembers in the last 90 years. You have to go all the way back since the Herbert Hoover administration to find an even smaller majority after the November elections. We're talking about the Republicans with 220 seats, Democrats with 215 if the current House results hold. And keep in mind that this will drop lower if Stefanik, Walz, or others like Matt Gaetz leave the Congress.
Yeah, talk to me. This is sort of the best case scenario for Republicans, at least for the next few weeks.
He's really excited about this, by the way, this anchor, because he's like, well, wow, then there's hope for disrupting the Make America Great Again agenda. Right, Harry? And it actually is true, though, because obviously there are special elections. There will be one in Florida to replace Matt Gaetz. And obviously it'll clearly be Republican. And there will be, you know, in the Senate, we have no problem. And DeSantis will appoint a Republican to fulfill Rubio's seat if he gets confirmed as Secretary of State, which he probably will. And so, but you do have a problem in the House where you have this possibility, because this is where, you know, we thought, wow, Trump has this mandate. He's going to kick some butt here and everything else. And then suddenly now we have the specter of these micro frauds occurring in these districts where there are some House members, Republicans, who lost because of ballot harvesting in California and beyond. And so Harry's telling us, yeah, this is great. But, you know, if you have one little hiccup, like this rubber band is like really tight right now. You have one little hiccup and then suddenly Trump trying to get his policies through the House has a problem. Well, the only thing that's benefiting the Trump administration right now is the fact that Elon Musk has basically threatened people openly, and I'm glad he has, and Trump has too, that, hey, by the way, my best friend is a bazillionaire. He's the good witch, if you want to compare him to George Soros, who is the bad witch. But I've got a good witch with me, not right now, who's going to come down from a bubble and fund primaries against you if you waver anyway. So that's the only saving grace right now in the House, is that House Republicans who go against Trump's agenda, you vote for with the Democrats and you're dead meat. And that's good.
Where could it go?
Where could it go? It could shrink even further. So let's say Gates, Stefanik, and Waltz resigns. We could be looking at, get this, Republicans at 217, the Democrats at 215, and I went all the way back. Look, this is crazy. This is crazy, right? Because all it means is Democrats at 215 plus one GOP seat could tank the entire thing, because then both sides would be at 216 seats, John.
What? So the only thing is that would be saving us as common sense conservatives would be the fact that Elon Musk, if you're a House Republican and you decide that you're going to go against the Trump agenda, you're going to be primaried. Your political life is threatened at that point. The other thing I like about Harry is, you know who his father-in-law is?
Important moment for me, and you're an important person in my life, and I wanted to get you a gift for your birthday, someone who actually knows how to sing. So, guys, if we can play this tape that was recorded earlier today.
Surprise, surprise, it's Neil Sedaka.
His father-in-law is Neil Sedaka.
Happy birthday, Anderson Cooper. I remember you being friends with my son Mark at Dalton, coming over to the house when you were just 16 years old.
Yeah, so anyway, he sings happy birthday too. That's a little fun fact. And Harry Enten and Neil Sedaka are both kind of similarly inclined, it seems, but God love them. Hey, it's the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Jamie Allman.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
All right, folks, this is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, really happy and privileged to be with you on this day after Thanksgiving. And I have to tell you, so when I was a kid, All in the Family was, I loved it. I loved watching it. I think I was a little young for some of the stuff. But then, of course, I was totally into the Jeffersons, the offshoot of that. That's where my place was, is the Jeffersons. Oh, George. I mean, it's like George Jefferson is like the best character in television you could possibly even drum up. But I have to tell you also that the All in the Family dynamic and Rob Reiner, actually, to his credit, as annoying as he is, was a really good actor. I mean, he was a good actor in this dynamic with Carol O'Connor. And I think part of it was that Carol O'Connor was also a liberal. So they kind of argued these points together, but it worked out really well. And he was, and Reiner was really annoying, but most Americans like, yeah, I know. I love that guy.
You can keep it. Well, you'd care about it too, Sonny boy, if you had anything. You wasn't living off of me without a pot to peel a potato.
The letter is between a citizen and his government. And I've heard you say it 100 times, Archie, the government works for me.
That's right. I said the government works for me, not you, meathead. Government works for taxpayers and breadwinners and people who contribute to society.
He's always late, except after coffee in the morning. 6 minutes later to the second, watch out. And God forbid I'm in there shaving.
Listen, the workings of nature won't wait for no deadbeat who takes all morning to shave.
Hey,
remember. Mary, you give my daughter a baby and you can't even support a goldfish.
All right, I'll pick up some tile cement and fix it tomorrow, okay?
Oh, listen to the boy eat it. He's actually threatening to do something around.
Yeah, so anyway, it was a great show. And actually, Carol O'Connor was such a great actor that he played this role of a guy that he actually didn't really have any philosophical inclinations for. And so he did this. And it was great. And Rob Reiner, though, was the real deal. Like when he was a liberal on All in the Family, he was the liberal. So, of course, he was freaking out in the run-up to the election. He is nuts. And I, to tell you the truth, and maybe that means I'm basically vacuous, and if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't be on Twitter. And so I guess at least he believes in something. Like, if I had the kind of money that he has, I'd probably be on the beach. I'm just telling you. And I maybe would tweet or do whatever, or X or whatever it is. But generally, I would like be, oh, I'm just going to check out. But no, Rob Reiner, Bette Midler, all these Hollywood stars are, and the exception is Neil Diamond, who's still amazingly awesome and stays out of the baloney. Jack Nicholson's another example of that. Anyway, so it turns out that on November 5th, Rob Reiner tweeted, Kamala Harris will be the 47th president of the United States. And by the way, that post is no longer available. He has he's self-deported. He has deleted his X account and now is on this thing called Blue Sky. I'm not quite sure whether Jesse's talked about Blue Sky a lot. I really haven't either. It's kind of like a formulation of Truth Social, except it's not Truth Social. So that kind of presents a little problem for Blue Sky. But that's where, like, Truth Social is where people go and they promote Make America Great Again and the greatness of the country. Blue Sky is where people go on and just complain to each other incessantly about the lack of outcome for their lives and their philosophy. And so now he started an account on Blue Sky. And believe me, don't worry about it. You can check it out, but it's just a place. I would encourage conservatives and even Elon Musk to go on Blue Sky and just troll these people incessantly, because and you know what? Elon Musk could probably, if he, I guarantee you Blue Sky is so non-significant that if Elon Musk said, I'll buy you, they'd be like, okay, I'll do that. It's like MSNBC, you know? So Rob Reiner now has self-deported from X, canceled his account, and is now on this outfit called Blue Sky. I haven't really bothered to check it too much, but he's so angry and so disappointed, and yet these people, I wish I could have told them early on, Rob, you guys are not going to win this election. You know it. You're being tricked by all these fake polls that even David Plouffe, who was Kamala Harris's campaign guy, he said, you know, we're seeing all these numbers that were telling us we were ahead, like CBS, NBC, ABC. They were push polls. They were trying to, A, demoralize Trump supporters into not voting, which, of course, would never happen in a million years. That's the one thing they really underestimated a lot of us on, is that somehow, oh, I don't know, Kamala's going to win anyway, so I'm not going to go to the polls. It's like, that doesn't happen in real life anywhere. And so they tried to promote these polls, and Plouffe is like, yeah, I saw these internal numbers, and we are losing. We never saw any time where we were ahead. And so, unfortunately, these people who I think were willingly wanting to be lied to, and I don't know what they thought the outcome was going to be of that, like what they thought was going to be some separation of reality and fantasy. But so, just so you know, if you go to Rob Reiner's Twitter account, which I know none of you are doing, it's gone. It's out. And he's another guy who has self-deported, which is fantastic. And he doesn't like Elon Musk. Nobody seemingly does except for us. And that's all good, because you guys are living on a different planet and ultimately will be living on a different planet because you have no other options. All right, coming up, I got to tell you, Joni Ernst, do you remember her? The senator from Iowa. Oh, my Lord, she is on the warpath, and she's got some great ways that she's going to get along, little doji, with Vivek and Elon Musk. I'll have that for you on the other side of this. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Jamie Allman, happy to be with you.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.